Bottom Bottom Nation, what's up? I am not in my apartment right now. I'm in the green room in Columbus, Ohio, because I'm on fucking tour, okay? I'm coming to Pittsburgh. I'm going out to Irvine, California. I'm going to Madison, Wisconsin, and we've got more dates that we're adding all the time. So go to ashleyevan.com, get on the text list, and if you'd like to support my special, my comedy special that's coming out, head on over to patreon.com/WHGS. We've got tons of bonus content there. I just uploaded some new stand-up comedy there. We got bonus episodes of the podcast, yada yada yada. It's fantastic, and it really helps me. It pays everybody on the team. We have a team, 4 staff members on the team, plus my new podcast host, Maddie. She is going to be staying permanently. They are so funny. We'll have Bree back on from time to time, but I know you've been begging for more Maddie, and we just found out that they're going to stay, and I'm so excited about that. But on this episode, we have Breanne Williamson co-hosting, my chancellor, and I'm so excited. I finally got her. You've been begging. Jade Fox, huge YouTuber, style YouTuber, but also so funny, and I found out that she did stand-up comedy at one point. We talk about that a little bit. We also talk about her straight experiments in high school. It's a really fun episode. Just a great vibe all around, because all three of us are really, really just very funny and clever on this episode. It's a really good time, and I'm so glad that she came on. It's not one to miss. All right, have a great week, guys. Listener, this episode is brought to you by Helix, my absolute favorite mattress. I am getting the best sleep of my life on a Helix, and you can too if you go over and take their little quiz. Their 2-minute quiz is going to match you with the perfect mattress for you, and you'll be sleeping like a baby in no time. And right now, Helix is offering 25% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/gaysex and use code HelixPartner20. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
I came out like maybe the day after I realized I was gay. And then I came out again to my parents when I was 19.
Were they cool?
It wasn't dramatic enough for me. Like my dad was like, you know, oh yeah, I already knew. I was like, shut up. And then my mom, she took that time to give me the sex talk, but she was not correct about any of the information. She was like, okay, now AIDS, it's going to be closer to you now. I was like, I don't think.
In the apartment. Jade, we just start whenever. It's chaos. There's no format. We'll probably put the stand up in. I don't fucking know. We just like to have a good time. We are not in the apartment. We are in the Milwaukee hotel room, and we are having gay sex. And this week we are having gay sex with longtime requested, very stylish,
yes,
too cool to be on my podcast, to be perfectly honest. Jade Fox!
Hey. Pew, pew, pew,
pew. No soundboard today. Thanks for being here, Jade. I really appreciate
Thanks
it.
Thanks for having me.
Can I say something earnest and vulnerable?
Yes.
I bought a suit a few weeks ago.
Nice.
And I watched your suit video on the recommendation of one of my podcast listeners.
Oh, that's nice. Cool. Did you get what you needed from it? Do you like your suit?
Yeah, actually, I did. I really like the way I look. I guarantee it.
Nice.
But... That's a Men's Warehouse. I don't know if anyone got that reference.
I was going to ask if that's
Alex,
where you got it from.
Alex, did you get it? No. I did not get it from... I did not get it from Men's Warehouse. I actually got it. I got it from like a medium fancy place, and I had it tailored. And I remember you talking about the wrist bone and the sleeve and everything. Yeah. And I looked... I felt good, and it was... It was like one of those moments where I thought, oh my God, as a gay person, I've never felt good in formal wear until this moment today. I mean, I'm 34 years old. Isn't that crazy?
I'm glad that you had that. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's a cool experience. I will say Jade's content helps me big time, because personally, I a lot of time like to dress more masculine. However, I have a big rack. Like, my boobs are out of this fucking world. It's to the point that sometimes, like, on the occasion I bring them out, my friends are like, holy fuck, where have those things been?
I will say, very masculine of you to call them a big rack. That was the very dad way of referring to your titties. I will say
yes,
that.
Yes, I feel like I don't like really, I don't know, they're like a different part of me. Like, I don't really like associate with my boobs. Yeah. Like, they're my own in a weird way. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And
I feel that.
I feel the same way. I feel like because I'm black, they're just titties, and that's all I can call them. The shape and color, it's titty-ish. I don't know if there's another word to use for it.
What shape and color is booby? And then we're doing like an aura. This sounds like someone who Bird Sage would have this discussion. Like, what color is the aura of your booby?
Oh, are you asking me?
Yes.
Well, you know, just
what the aura of your titties are.
We're working with these deep, you know, rich jewel tones, kind of giving me like a nice purple, kind of a nice purple dark areola moment, you know, just feelings that of tranquility. I like to believe.
Nice.
I'm imagining one of those giant sphere shaped like fountains that you sometimes see at a park. Yes. And then the water comes out and you're like, who made this?
Yes. Who's lactating? What are you doing? Boy?
My areolas are just halos for my titties. They're just really close to them.
I feel like
that is peaceful and spiritual and tranquil.
Mine are the opposite, I feel like, of tranquil. Mine are just like chaotic, wild. They're always getting in the way. I'm trying to fucking get them out of here and they're always just popping up. So Jade's content is very helpful for that. If you're out there and you have big titties or a big rack, but you prefer to dress more masculine, check out that content.
I have medium. I like when they're smaller because mine, like, really, they are the first place where when I gain weight, they get bigger. Or if I'm like on my period, that's the first place my weight goes. And I think for a lot of women, they would like love that. But for me, I like them when they're a little bit smaller. And I'm not a huge fan of my tits. The way that I would describe my tits personality is like a 65-year-old Jewish man in the entertainment business in New York. Like, they have a vibe of very much like, I've seen it all, kid. Like that. That's how I would describe my tits.
I don't know why. I just picture them being dry.
They're dry.
They're definitely dry.
It's actually when I'm getting my eggs frozen, and my doctor said, listen, it's powdered in there, so you're going to have to find a nurse.
It's like freeze-dried banana slices.
Yes, that's actually what my areola is. Delicious, honestly.
I love it.
Well, this is good. Solid banter up top. I like when it's just easy. Jade, not everyone is easy. This is another thing I do on the podcast. I shit on all the other guests that we've had.
Yes.
And then I pretend that they'll never find out about it, even though it's like super easy. But I'm not actually shitting on them. Yeah. But sometimes it's easier to talk to some people than others.
Yeah, I've learned that. Here in Portland, it's hard to talk to people because as soon as they like see me, they think I want to talk about what's everything wrong in the world and racism. And I'm like, no, I'm just black and I'm just here in this grocery store trying to buy some fucking pineapple. It's like everything has to like, it's almost like for people to talk to me and feel like I got something out of it, they need to like round it back to like social justice. And I'm like, no, girl.
So well, exhausting.
You are in Portland. So yeah, that is kind of the capital of white guilt.
It's the the epicenter of Mitch Match earrings.
is that a white guilt thing? Mismatch earrings?
When I just think of like white queer culture, I just think of Mitch Match earrings.
That's so true. You and see them come in and it's just like, oh,
one's
we're about to have a conversation.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess that is true. I see that a lot at Sunday School, my show in New York. I do see a lot of like one massive earring and then like another little tiny one. But people are upset in Portland. They're very sad.
Oh, for
and
sure.
I think they're looking I would guess that when that happens, they're looking for you to uplift them would be my guess.
I think they see me and they're like, progress.
Oh, God.
I think they see me and they're like, hey, guys, look around. Things are changing. Things are changing.
There's a black woman at the grocery store.
Progress. Let me talk to her.
Isn't that crazy that she has the money to buy groceries? What a great time we live in.
Yes. God.
Yes. It's very that. There's a lot of signs outside of places that are like, we stand with the black community. And honestly, it's like, if it's like a shoe repair place, like, I don't care.
No, I'm sure you're like, thank God.
Yeah, it's like, I'm not bringing my Jordan 4s into this like 1950s style shoe repair place.
That's so funny though, because sometimes when you book a hotel, it'll say LGBTQ friendly. Yeah. And it's not until that moment that I'm actually worried about the hotel not being LGBTQ friendly. Yes. It almost has the reversed effect. Yeah. Like, it's like, should I feel unsafe about going to a shoe cobbler? I didn't even have the thought.
Exactly. And then it's just like a feel. Sort of reminder that danger's all around.
Look out. Not here, but generally.
Oh, fuck.
Not here. Here's good. But in general, though. Yeah.
It does feel like it's like performative or whatever. I mean, I guess, I don't know. What happens at the LGBTQ friendly hotel? Someone calls you the F word and you can run to the receptionist and be like, can I get bonus points?
I'll tell you what happens. They don't give you two queen beds. When you book with two feminine names, they give you one king as requested.
This is actually a great, great philosophical question. When you go on a vacation with a significant other, do you want a king bed situation or a queen bed situation? Discuss. Brie, go.
I would like the king bed because usually if you get the king bed, then there's also some sort of seating area to make up for the space in the room, which I find nice. I like that, especially if I'm on vacation. Then I can sit there and have a drink, not sitting on my bed.
Jade?
I fuck with the two beds because I like space. Also, if you're planning to have sex in that hotel room, I've noticed that the bed is always closer to the wall when there's two beds in there. Therefore, utilizing that little space between the wall and the bed.
Ah. For leverage.
For leverage, just support, even. Sometimes if you just get scared and don't want to see the door and you're by yourself.
That's true. I could go either way because as a person who sometimes wants my own bed, like let's say I'm having hip pain because I'm ancient. The queen bed is great to hop into for a pain situation.
Have you ever had the two beds and then you went in with the assumption that you both will be sleeping in a separate bed and then you had to have the conversation that she wants to sleep in the same bed?
I have not. I think if I ever told a woman on the way into a hotel room that we would be sleeping in different beds, I would be immediately executed.
Fair.
Don't you feel like that's a great way to get into an argument with someone? By the way,
I booked us two beds so that you can be as far as possible from me.
Because girls, like, I talk about, sometimes I find myself talking about women as if I am not one. Mm. I'm like, women, they want a cuddle. They always want a spoon. Give me some space.
As if you are the most needy fucking lesbian I've ever talked to.
You can call me.
You're like,
dyke.
Love me. You thought I paused because I didn't want to say dyke.
What's the difference?
It felt like you might not want to say dyke.
I was like, duh, lesbian.
What'd you say,
Jay? Is there a difference? What is the big difference between, what's the vibe check between dyke and lesbian?
I think the vibe check is whether or not you want to go to the Harley Davidson Museum in Wisconsin.
Or in Ashley's case, if she would just like to go to, what were you going to go to? The nature fucking exhibit? That's not.
Can't you just go outside?
Thank you. What was that?
I was going to go. There's like a kayaking in the city of Milwaukee. You can kayak the Milwaukee River.
Okay. Some white shit right there.
City kayaking, yeah. Urban kayaking or whatever.
This was like part of the reason why I could, like, if I wasn't in a relationship, I honestly, I don't know what I would have done trying to date here because everyone likes to do outdoor stuff. I mean, that's why they live here, yes. In Portland. It's green, yes.
And it's
hiking,
beautiful.
Super beautiful. But I don't want to do any of that shit. Yeah, none of it.
Really? I'm not even a little bit. I like it. I enjoy it, but not too much because of my hip.
Oh God.
Fuck. I can do like a little baby hike. You know what I mean? Like a hike that lasts about 12 minutes, and then it's over, and we get.
That's
Starbucks.
Me. I'm like a. It shouldn't. Take hours and hours. We should probably introduce ourselves.
Fair.
We're at that time.
Okay. Yeah.
But anyway, as I said, we're in the Milwaukee hotel room. We're having gay sex with Jade Fox today. Yeah. And Jade, I think one of my listeners is responsible for this because what happens when I can't reach someone, I start to say to the listeners, well, why don't you try and get them? because I'm not doing a good enough job. And I think someone commented, and that's how we got your attention.
You had a few people commenting. You've got people on the ground pulling up the bootstraps for this fucking
street
podcast.
Team. That's it's the Bottom Nation street team. That's
dead ass.
That's what we've got.
I think it was just like I got one, and then this was also around the time where like a lot of white lesbians were trying to get me on their podcast. And so I'm going to be honest, I had my reservations.
Some trauma.
There was some trauma. I needed to heal from that. I needed to heal from last year.
Yeah. I didn't know about this, Jade, until a few days ago. Just FYI. Yeah. When I reached out, we started the podcast in
Ashley's
April
different than the rest of the white lesbians.
I'm not
don't
like
worry,
them.
Jade.
You don't understand. I'm one of the good ones. Oh, no, God. No. But I totally understand that probably in the month of June, you had like 4,000 interview requests.
Yeah. And I may have judged you, and I apologize for that because this is a cool vibe.
No, you can judge. We're just at the beginning. Just wait. It gets worse from here.
I will say it's not a cool vibe. It's a neurotic high anxiety.
Can I just say, Ash, the idea, I don't know why I now have this fixated in my mind, the idea of you in a kayak going down a city river gives me the
not
biggest ick. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, the idea of you just like there with your fucking paddle.
What about me in a life jacket? You don't like me in a life jacket?
It's not really the life jacket. It's just you, like, something about the kayak movement and then you, like,
the
looking around at the sights. Like, it's just too much.
I'm a dweeb, and I'm going to have a rash guard on and a bucket hat.
As you should.
Because I'm not getting sunburned. Okay.
You need to have, like, the strip do people actually do that in real life? The strip of, like, sunscreen? Like, bop.
Yeah, the zinc. I love the zinc. I fuck with zinc.
Like the mineral zinc?
I like it when they had the colors. I don't know what it is, but you can get it in, like, purple.
Lit.
Anyway, we introduce ourselves in this format. Jade, copy it. Basically, it's whatever you want the people at home to know about you.
Okay.
Ashley Gavin, cis gay white woman, she, her pronouns. God, I say that so fast now, it does feel like one word. And, you know, the tour dates, the Patreon, those are very helpful things. Please indulge yourself in my website today. And then, oh, fuck, I don't have a rhyme. Fuck, shit.
Oh my God.
Hold on. Let's see if I can improvise it. Canada, across the border. Uh-huh. We've done geese. We've done moose. Something with maple syrup. Mm-hmm. What else? What else is going on?
Not much. Honestly, that's all we do up here. Just geese, moose, and maple syrup. So I don't really have anything
Some
else.
Some kind
to-
of hockey thing? Perhaps a hockey slap shot.
This is really fun being part of this. This is.
Are y'all rapping?
No.
God, no. I can see why that may have been interpreted as horrible slam poetry. Canadian slam poetry. Just me being like maple syrup, slapshot, hockey, Canada, up north. I feel.
Ash always gives me some sort of poem at the start.
I do like a rhyme or a riff or like a funny pun.
Gotcha.
But I'm just like exploring the Canadian word space to try and figure out
I'm so happy to be part of this brainstorming process. This is great.
Flannel.
I'm wearing a flannel.
Flannel's on my mantle.
Flannel.
Oh. Next to my antlers and my sandals.
Okay, Jade did it for me. The chancellor to keep me from getting canceled, Brianne Williamson, everybody.
Hello, I'm Brianne Williamson.
Bree, do you even want to do this anymore? Just be honest with me.
No,
you don't have to do this.
This is great. I just, it was quite the buildup. Like, you know, I just,
it was.
You were edging me for a while there. I'm Brianne Williamson. My pronouns are she, her, and I'm a lesbian. You can find me anywhere at Brianne Williamson or at I Can Explain Podcast.
Oh, yes. Go watch Bree's podcast. It's probably better than this one. And then our guest, huge YouTuber, content creator, very funny, a lot of content on style, Jade Fox. Do you mind introducing
yourself?
Sure.
My name is Jade Fox. I've been making stuff online for a long time for gay people to laugh at other gay people. And I'm everywhere. I'm everywhere, baby. Google me, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok. But I don't really be talking that much I don't really, I just be talking shit on my TikTok. I'm at the point in my content creator life where I'm caring less about things, but I made a lot of stuff and it's all really good. So you should check it out.
It is.
It's very high quality and you're very respected. Mm-hmm. Like everyone that I've had on like really respects your work. I'll say that. And that's definitely something as a comedian, I'm like, oh yeah.
I get no respect.
Is that a thing in the content? What's that?
I thought you were about to say, like, as a comedian, I get no respect.
Oh, I get no respect. My wife. But I don't know. I don't feel in comedy there's like a reverence for people that are like professional and really good at their jobs. Yeah. I don't necessarily get that when I'm talking to content creators.
Mm.
I never get that vibe.
What do you mean?
It's on the one hand, people are really eager to collaborate, which I love. Like I love that people like want to work with other people. But on the other hand, it feels like it might just be about followers and views, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? It's weird because when I started creating content, like if you're a content creator, like that was fucking weird. Like it was like you're like it's a weird thing that you're doing. It's not a real job. What is that even about? To seeing now how people are like just fighting tooth and nail to become content creators. I'm like, y'all, you can just start. Like this is not a job that anyone has ever asked anyone to do. Like you can just do it.
Yeah.
You can just start.
You don't have to be booked to do this job. You just go.
Clearly.
I will say agents and right, exactly. This is what is this. But what and you know what? Especially in the gay content creator space, just do it because people are just lapping this shit up. They need it. There's not a lot of it. But I will say, like, when because with comedy, it's almost like there's a vibe of selling out.
Like,
there are people that are really good at the craft and they're deeply respected by comedians almost because they've never made it. And they're just epically good comedians that no one's ever heard of or very few people have ever heard of. And there's almost like a deeper respect
people
for that.
People are so fucking weird. Like, liking people not being successful, like what is that?
I know it's
bizarre. So odd.
It's the opposite of the content creator. So there's Jade, honestly, and I hope I don't sound like I'm sucking your dick, but you're like really one of the only content creators that like I've heard people are like, oh yeah, her stuff is great. Like people say that about you,
high
just
quality.
So that you know that.
Thanks.
Whereas Bree and I,
just a shit show.
We get dragged every day.
No one's fucking safe. I'm just like shit posting 24/7.
Well, and like, it's not a craft for me in the same way that it is for you guys. I really did this because comedy is my craft and I didn't know how to get people to buy tickets. Mm-hmm. And this has worked. Mm-hmm. Whatever. Let's talk about gay sex. Okay. So my story today is not great.
Oh.
But
I love when she says that. So now we're just disappointed from the start.
They're almost better when I say that up front because it puts the pressure on you guys to come up with funny riffs to make it work. And sometimes the best stories that I bring to this aren't the best in delivery. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like it's really you never know. You just never know. But today's story, I'm going to talk about a topic that I think everyone has experienced.
Okay.
Queer longing and deep, deep simp behavior.
Okay.
Because I have alluded to my first high school girlfriend. Let's give her a name. Jade, my first high school girlfriend, went on to get a PhD from Harvard.
Wow.
In an ancient dead language. She's a fucking genius.
Tight.
What do you name that woman?
let's name her Wanda. But
Wanda.
J-U-A-N-A.
Wanda.
But pronounced Wanda.
Yes.
Got it. That's actually her name. I don't know how you got
that. Is it
that.
Really?
No, God, no.
That would be crazy.
That would be nuts. But I was deeply in love with Wanda starting at the end of seventh grade when at seventh grade graduation, she wore a red sweater to school and curled her hair. And I swear to God, there was a wind machine somehow and it was slow motion. And I just was desperately in love with her ever since. And we secretly dated in eighth and ninth grade.
Oh.
And she broke my heart twice. This is the first girl I had sex with. I mean, like, I was just crazy about it. I was like, I also had that classic queer, tell me if you guys relate to this, that classic queer scarcity mindset where I was like, mm-hmm. well, if it's not Wanda, I'm never going to find anyone else. Yep. And Wanda was so sweet to me. She would say things like, Ashley, as you get older, you're going to meet other women that like want to fuck women. I was like, what are you talking about?
Plot Wanda? Twist. Wanda was actually your teacher.
As you grow up, Ashley.
I know. Isn't it like so sage and wise?
I like how you're like, she was so sweet. And this is about the breakup conversation. Like, you're just thinking she's the kindest person because she told you that you will eventually fuck somebody else.
And I fully didn't believe it.
I love that y'all were like 12 having this conversation.
Yeah, like, what?
Isn't that nuts?
That's crazy.
But I really do think she was very smart and wise to say that to me. And maybe she identifies as straight. I only think she ever like kind of had one more fling with a woman, maybe in college. So maybe she was really viewing this as a straight.
Ash is still jealous over that additional fling, by the way.
I really am. I'm like, who the fuck was that bitch?
Do you think that she's counting this? And when she like thinks back to all relationships, does she count this one or is this the ones that she like omits?
Good question.
I don't know.
I see your heart breaking.
Like, oh, the look in your
my heart is actively, because I've said this on the podcast before. Wow. Wow. That was a penetrating question. I might cry. So I've said this on the podcast. I cry all the time, Jade. I'm a huge crier.
Big fan of crying.
Because I bring Bree on. Before Bree was like a co-host, I would bring Bree on the episodes where I would just weep.
Every Aww. Time I'd show up and she'd just be crying and I'd be like, yeah. what the hell is
like
going on?
Like a breakup or whatever. And then I wouldn't tell Brie what was going on. I would, because I always wanted it to be fresh because I'm such a fucking maniac. Do you ever do that for content? Are you that type of creator?
I can't anymore because I embarrass myself way too fucking much. It's I had to pull the reins in a little bit when I'm like, let me hold back my tears. Let me turn on my camera first. And then talk about it. Like, once I got to that point, I was like, oh, girl, shit's dark.
Yeah.
Ash is literally booking me as a guest to be a live audience to react to her fucking tears. Like, Jesus Christ.
It's so, my life is so fucked up. Like, normal people don't do this.
They don't.
No.
Anyway, she was my first. We had what I thought was sex, but at the time she said that she lost her virginity like a year later to this guy.
Oh.
And I remember when I heard that, my heart, I was like, no.
<That's-> no.
What?
That's just what she said. She went up to Wanda and she said, no.
You were fully writing in your diary about this like magical moment of firstness and discovery. And she's like, yeah, I just went over that bitch's house and you know, whatever.
I mean, it was one of those moments where I was like, I don't know the answer to this. Like, you kind of lost your virginity twice. You know what I mean? Like,
you go and give her a PowerPoint presentation on how she lost it twice. No, no, you are wrong. And I'm going to tell you why.
When did you hear her say this?
Well, the thing is, we were all. Yeah, I know it is. Well, that's the horrible thing about being a child, a gay child, because it's all your friends and you're closeted and you're at sleepovers and stuff. And you have to hear the woman you love tell her other friends how she had sex with some guy. Like, it's this heartbreaking. I don't think anyone's ever written a film that captures that moment, you know, of like, you thought you fucked this girl first. And it turns out Brad did.
About, like, this being the most emotional, deep film concept of all time. This girl is asleep.
It is. No, it is deep.
I'm so sorry.
Don't tell me that's not deep.
Sorry. No, it was me. I fucked her first. Yeah. Like, what?
It was. And that matters.
Oh,
it matters to
Jesus.
Me.
This is like,
no, it's not that I fucked her first. Is that, oh, sorry. Go, Jade.
I was just going to say, this is like when you're like redoing your resume once every like two, three years. And like the jobs at the bottom that you had in high school that you're like, maybe it's time to just take those off. Those don't matter anymore. That's what she did to you.
Wanda's taking you off the resume.
She took you off the body resume.
She was like,
resume.
This experience no longer matters. I'm in the straight field now.
Irrelevant.
I don't need these gay experiences. Yeah. I can take fingering off my skills.
Middle school was a big time for fingering.
It was.
It was.
People loved a finger.
But anyway, I was desperately in love with this girl. She, during 10th grade, her parents were professors. And I think her father was doing a year in India. And so she went to India for a year. And I just...
Heartbreak.
I missed her every day. I was just counting the days for Wanda to get back from India.
And this was back in like the 1700s. There's no way for you to contact.
It was. There was no way for me to... I mean, I was updating my Zanga regularly.
Not Zanga.
So she could read my Zanga.
Wow.
But when she got back, she was pretty adamant that she was not gay. This is the whole thing about early gay memories. Are you a creep? Or, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
it's like one of those things where it's like, am I being too persistent in a creepy way? Or am I just in love with my best friend who is closeted and repressed? And you know what I mean? It's a weird, that's why I think a lot of gay people worry that we're predators because we've been stereotyped as predators. And then also you are kind of lying in wait for a weak moment from your straight friend.
Oh my God. Well, my question to you is, as you were noticing all of these things and as you were hearing all of these things, was there a moment where you like talked to her about any of this? Were you like, you know what, enough is enough, I'm gonna break the silence, and you were gonna like have that conversation? Or did you just like wait by the wayside and just saw your life pass you by?
Jade, I was the least closeted gay person who thought she was in the closet. Like, I actively was pursuing her. Like, would be like, hey, can I like buy you a snack after school? Oh, you want to go through for a walk through the
actively
park?
Actively, like, pursuing. Snacks were purchased.
That's how you pursue. That's how you pursue in high school. You get snacks after school. What else is there? There's snacks after school.
That's true. Or a good step parent.
I feel like the question is like, why, like, did you actually have this conversation with Wanda? Like, did you actually say to her, like, this is breaking my heart? Like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, I'm like in love with you. Like, she was like, I don't know what to tell you. But then we would like go on these emotional dates and never do anything physical until one night we made a very bad decision to walk through Central Park together at midnight.
Okay.
Oh, you guys don't know.
No, we don't know.
You see a lot of like, there's like gay cruising going on and like also people like doing drugs. It's like not a good idea to go to Central Park in the middle of the night.
Especially when you're 14.
When you're like 15, 16. But I don't know what happened on that magical walk. But she was like, this is very romantic. Aww. And I was like, yeah.
Well, I got to say, fuck Wanda. Because she kind of just like played with your heart and, you know, wasted your time.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is that I did finger her after the walk through the park.
So it was all worth it in the end.
And here's the best part. I fingered her in my bunk bed because I had a bunk bed, and she had her first orgasm as given to her from another person. So in the end,
are you sure?
Come
or
on.
Did she just think that's what she was supposed to do?
No, she. Are you suggesting that Wanda lied to me?
Well, I don't know. Wanda seems like the type that might have
a user.
Maybe. Yeah, might have just lied. Like, might have just thought that that's what you're supposed to do. A lot of young people do that during sex, right? They think they're supposed to be a climax.
Well, you guys want me to text her right
yes.
now?
Yeah, obviously.
One moment.
I do think that that's such a... I feel like I wish every queer kid was safe enough and felt comfortable enough to actively, loudly pursue their crushes. Mm-hmm. Because I gotta say, it gets rid of that fear of rejection early.
Yes.
Early.
Yes.
You get used to it.
Do you think that's why so many queer people are so, because there's like, you don't want to look like a creep and women are scary. This is what I hear from a lot of young queer AFAB folks. They're so afraid of rejection.
Yeah.
But maybe it's because we just haven't been trained in the ways of real rejection, rejection from people we genuinely like so much at a young age.
Mm-hmm. I just feel like in a heteronormative space, there's only the fear of them saying like, no, I'm not into dating you. But as soon as you're queer, there's the additional step of, are they even also queer and into me? So It makes it like a two-tier approach.
You out yourself and then you embarrass yourself.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's too much. Yeah, it's a lot.
Alex, this is the clip for TikTok. You out yourself and then you embarrass yourself. It's true. I don't know, but I never had that. For whatever reason, I never had that worry. I've just been like, it's a rejection either way. So I might as well go try and finger this straight one.
I'm putting my fingers in her. One thing or another.
If she says yes.
What is the deal with fingering?
That's a great question.
Is this what you did at the open mics? What's the deal with fingering? Fingering. It's crazy. It's all the rage. What's the deal?
I remember it being just, and maybe it's because like that really awkward like period from, you know, middle school to high school, like maybe sex itself might be too like penetrative sex.
Mm.
Well, even though in a broader context, like maybe that's more intimidating. And so like fingering is like, ooh, this is the soft spot. This is where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember being more intimidated by fingering than literally anything else because I didn't want to like knock something out of place. It's like Jenga.
And listen, if you haven't seen a tumbled over vagina,
knocked all over the place. No, middle school, high school fingering was a different vibe too because people didn't know the approach. So you went from making out to like down the pants to just bang, 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 bang.
And it was never a soft fingering.
Never.
You never got like a nice, gentle. No. It was like, oh, that's your clit? I'm going to break it. Like that's
no sensitivity. That's no, just one pace, one motion.
Yes.
For 12 minutes.
And then someone has to pretend that they come, a.k.a. Wanda.
Yeah. I don't think she did because we had fingered before and she had never come.
Okay. Mm.
So for me,
I'm so sorry. I don't want to break your heart all over again. I'm so sorry. I'll give you this.
No, I think this was senior year. And man, like that was like probably the first time I had ever like felt victory. Like I fucking did it. Oh, I did this.
Okay.
Yeah. And she still didn't want to be my girlfriend after that. So obviously.
Thanks and goodbye, said Wanda.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's my gay sex from this week. Listener, don't forget to support the Patreon, patreon.com/WHGS. That's how we pay Alex. He is a full-time employee of the podcast. We could not pay him on ads alone. Me also. This is full-time work, so please consider going and donating. And in return for those donations, you get bonus episodes. You get comped tickets when I'm in your city. You get extended, unfiltered, uncut episodes, weekly access to my Zoom stream of my show in New York, and lots of other stuff. Patreon.com/WHGS. Listener, do not miss me when I'm in your city. I know you miss my TikToks and my Instagram posts, and sometimes you skip podcast episodes. I'm only in town once a year, so let me text you once a year when I'm in town, or I can email you ashleygavin.com. There's going to be 25 cities on this tour. Don't miss your city. Listener, spring has sprung. Love is in the air, and that means you need your Helix mattress. You don't want to bring a girl home and have her crawl into your bed and feel like shit the next day, and then she takes it out on you and never sees you again. Help your boo thang get a good night's sleep on a Helix mattress. Go to helixsleep.com /gaysex, take the 2-minute mattress quiz, and you'll find out which mattress is best for you. And it's no stress. You get 100 nights to try it, and there's a 10 to 15 year warranty. So don't sweat this decision. But I know you're going to love it, because you don't have to take my word for it. Helix has been awarded the number one mattress picked by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors of sleep medicine as a go-to solution for improving your sleep. Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/gaysex and use code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
Jade, did you have gay sex this week?
I didn't. My girlfriend's gone. I had gay sex with myself, but nice. I actually have a story that is a middle school fingering story.
Beautiful. I love it.
So for some reason, every guy, and I mean every single guy, maybe with the exception of one, that I was interested in school is now gay, which I find hilarious.
Oh my God.
And so at the time though, I was like messing with this one boy and he came over to my house and he was like a thick dude, right? He was a thick dude and he had really big fingers. And this is back.
Oh shit. I've actually wondered about this my whole fucking life. So I'm really glad.
It was,
I don't know why I haven't explicitly asked, but.
Yeah, his fingers like had a length, a width and a height. It was actually back
if you went to IKEA.com, you could get the dimensions of the fingers.
Assembly instructions.
Huge.
Yes. And this was like back when Burger King was doing their chicken fries campaign. And so I remember distinctively thinking as he's like, and it was a dry fingering. It was
obviously
like being fingered by a cigar. It was not. It was not. I actually don't even think he actually made it inside of me. I think it was just the friction was just, it was like, it was bad. It was bad. Anyway, it was so like dramatic in the way that it happened. And then he left and I could just feel like the remaining pressure in me. I thought I was pregnant. I was like, that was too dramatic. That was too much. That was too much of a sensation. He knocked some shit out. Some shit out the wrong spot, I'm sure. And I really thought, I was literally in the bathroom, like in my American Eagle jeans, like contemplating like what my next steps are going to be.
How do I be a young mom? I want to know, like, did you Google after this happened? If you can get pregnant.
Yeah, that's what my question was going to be. Can you get finger blasted pregnant?
I did. And I also Googled if you could get pregnant from pre-cum, which you can.
Yes.
Yeah, you can get pregnant from pre-cum.
Just takes one.
This girl didn't.
Love it.
Well, it also was, he would have to have collected his pre-cum.
I literally thought it just had to be in the room. I was like, if it's just around,
just floating in the air,
it's going to like, it's like contagious in that way. Like it's going to make its way in my bloodstream somehow.
I have another question. Cause like women's fingers are AFAB, the little dainty little
ukulele
ladies.
Playing hands.
Are we all showing our hands
lady
now?
Fingers. Okay. I look at some men's hands, and maybe this guy was like that, and I'm like, one of their fingers is two of my fingers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And everyone says for fingering, you got to go with two fingers. And it's like, I don't think that's true with men. I just really disagree.
I'm gonna say...
I don't know why I'm asking, like, we've got straight women in the room who have, like, a lot of data.
Is there a correlation between, like, dick size and finger girth?
I don't know. Alex? No, based on your own experience. There's a saying?
Big feet. Big feet beat big dick.
We should find this out. Listener, write in. Yes, Alex, please Google.
Skinny tall dudes have really fat dicks.
They do.
Always?
For the most part.
Pretty well.
I never
like that's like a
that.
Fact for sure. If they're like really slim, it's like all of the energy that went to making them, if they're really slender, it just went all to their dick.
Yeah. That's where all their body
that's
fat
the science
percentages.
Behind it.
Yeah, that's official science.
But if they gained weight, it would be removed from the penis.
What?
Well, that would suck.
You see what I'm saying? Because like you're saying they have to be skinny, and skinny is not a, it's a, skinny is
no,
a,
I'm talking about the people that are just inherently genetically skinny and tall.
That they, it's almost impossible for them to gain weight.
Yes. Those people have big dicks.
Yeah.
I mean, we did have a co-host, Gara, used to say about their mm-hmm. boyfriend that he had, and he's tall and very skinny.
It's a thing.
That thing's flopping.
So there you go.
There.
We have one example. And so that means it's definitely, definitely true. Wait, Jade, it's hard for me to imagine you having sex with men. I got to be honest.
I never successfully did.
Okay. Okay. Because I was like, I thought you were going to be one of those lesbians that like just was never with a guy. That's the vibe that
no,
you have.
No, I was like actively trying to get chose by dudes back in the day. And I think it was just because, I mean, I was just an attention whore by nature. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I had like a cool vibe about me. And so I was like, oh, yeah, guys would like me. And so I think like I wanted to have that experience to validate like me as a person. It was almost, mm-hmm. I keep saying the word vibe check, but it was almost like, if I can achieve this, then I can achieve anything. I don't know why I thought that way. Also, there was just around this time there, everybody was obsessed with sex. And so I kind of wanted to know what it was all about. I was like, why is everybody like tripping over this thing? Why is everybody obsessed over this thing? And so I had a lot of attempts, but never, no successful, none of them were successful.
That in itself is a kind of a gay thought, because I sometimes, even today, I'm like, I wonder what, because I've never had sex with a guy. I do often from like an almost scientific, like inquisitive perspective. I'm like, I wonder what that would feel like. Yeah. Mm. I wonder if that would be, if I could separate my attraction from it, I wonder if it could be a cool experience. But the fact that you're even like, what's this whole sex thing anyway? That's gay. Like, that's very gay. Because when you're attracted to a woman, that's not what you're thinking. You're like, I have to fuck her now. Like, that's what you're not like, what's this whole mm-hmm. vagina thing about? You're like, I just need it. It's not, there's not even a thought in your brain.
I was a big pick me girl. And I think the pick me girl to lesbian pipeline is very real.
Yeah, it is.
Seriously. Cause I didn't get it. I thought everyone was just like trying to do it. You know what I mean? I was like, oh, this is like, everyone feels this way. This isn't like just a natural feeling of attraction. It's like, oh, everyone's trying to get these guys to like them. That's what we're supposed to do as women.
Yeah.
And that was totally my experience, in that I just thought every other girl felt that way, that like we were just playing a game of trying to get all the guys to like us.
No, they actually liked
them.
Yeah,
I know.
Isn't that crazy?
A little later, I was like, what the fuck? Okay. Let's back
this
up. They
were enjoying the experience. I remember for me, it was just like, I have got to find one that I do genuinely like. Like, that was my...
A guy.
I was like, if I could just make one acceptable to my own taste and make him like me, that was the second step. The first step was finding one that I could possibly, you know, I was hoping I'd end up bi. That's what I was hoping.
Right.
I was bi for a few months.
Me too. I identified as bi for a solid 6 months, I'd say.
I had a boyfriend and a girlfriend at the same time.
Oh.
Did they know?
Homegirl was poly, didn't even know it. Yeah, they knew. They knew. And the thing is, like,
both of them knew.
My boyfriend thought it was like, you know, my girlfriend has a girlfriend. Like, that was him.
Yeah.
And then my girlfriend, who I didn't really even like that much, I think I was more of just like into the optics of having a boyfriend and a girlfriend. That I was like,
you did need a lot of attention.
Yeah, I'm into this. I'm into this. And no, she just wanted to be with me. But then I broke up with all of them.
Oh my God.
At the same time, was it a conference call?
Three-way phone call.
Hey, I'm going to have to let you guys go. We don't have enough resources.
Literally.
At the moment.
I should have.
What was the moment? When did you come out? I'm sure this is on your content, and I apologize if you've answered this question 400 times.
I've come out. I came out like officially, like maybe the day after I realized I was gay at school. Like, I came to the, like,
wow.
We had lunch. We were sitting at the table, and I was like, hey, y'all, I know I told you I was bi. Fuck all that. That's not the case anymore. Homegirl's gay now. And then I came out again to my parents when I was 19, strictly out of like convenience, because I just got tired of holding up lies. I was like, this is a lot. So I'm just going to tell y'all the truth. I'm gay and I'm going to this girl's house and I don't want to lie to y'all anymore. And so that's why I told him.
Nice.
Well, were they cool?
You know, it wasn't dramatic enough for me. Like my dad was like, you know, oh yeah, I already knew. I was like, shut up. That's like the worst thing you could possibly say to someone who just came out to you. It's like,
make a choice. Anger, sadness, like, happiness, something.
And now you're trying to one up me when I on my coming out. Oh yeah, I already fucking knew. And then my mom, she was like, so you like really don't like men? I was like, girl, you don't even like men. So no. And she was like, and then she took that time to give me the sex talk, but she was not correct about any of the information. She was like, okay, now AIDS and HIV, it's going to be way, it's going to be closer to you now. I was like, I don't think, I don't think this is accurate.
I do like that she tried to take accountability though, as a parent, and responsibility. She was like, okay, well, I guess I have to do the sex talk and I'm going to just say what I know to be true.
It was just keywords. It was like a word cloud, just words. And then
anything she's ever heard about gay people just gets thrown at you.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. She's like, you're probably going to want to work at a Home Depot. And
she's like, you're going to want to wear like beanies for protection just every day.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Jade. That was really funny and some vulnerability as well. Bree, did you have gay sex this week?
Okay. So I have an exciting update for myself and my ego. And that is that a while ago on this podcast, I talked about how I did a BDSM test online.
Yes.
And it gave me the rating of Michael Scott from The Office.
Yes.
Nice.
I lost sleep over this. I did not sleep for a week. I was traumatized, second guessing everything. My girlfriend was like, please stop like poking me with every object in the house just to prove that you're kinky.
I was about to say, you start like trying to tie her up with random objects that you find around the house because you don't have anything kinky. Like you have no ropes appropriate for it. You're like hitting her with a book.
You're just stuffing grapes in her mouth.
Right, yeah.
Anything to prove that I'm not boring in bed and vanilla. Honestly, I was really triggered by this. And I, out of recommendation, did another BDSM test that wasn't just some stupid like office character. I was like, I need
a
different result.
Well, we were joking, Jade, that like she probably didn't take the right BDSM test because the result should not be Michael Scott. So I think that what she did was she accidentally took an office themed like buzz quiz, you know, test.
Yes.
Sexually, which office character are you?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
The thing seemed legit while I was taking it. And then it was just like, your results are Michael Scott. And I was like, what the actual fuck? Are you kidding me? So I took another BDSM test by recommendation by some friends of mine that was very thorough. It took me like a fucking hour to do. Okay. Wow. And I got the results. Now, it does not tell me how kinky I am or what office character I am, but it did tell me some interesting things. And I think this is where it went wrong on the first test. I've come to realize that I want the other person to be enthusiastically engaged. I'm looking for power bottom energy. Okay. So in the previous test, anytime it was like reluctance or like, you know, in a sexual role play situation that they like are getting like embarrassed or they feel like they're being hurt physically or emotionally, I didn't like that.
Right, because the consent aspect of
it
is part of it.
It's too much for me. Even though it's role play and even though it is adults consenting to those BDSM experiences that some people enjoy, I can't take myself out of it. Like, I can't.
It needs to feel joyful for you.
Yes, I want. Okay, so this is exactly it. So it told me on this test, my number one is dominant, whatever, boring. My number two is brat tamer, which I've come to realize a brat is when they pretend cheekily like they're not into it, like, but they're also letting you know they're into it.
like oh, egging man. You on.
You're tapping into a fucked up part of my brain, Bree.
So I'm very low on like things like masochist, sadist, degrader, things like
that. Yeah.
But I'm very high on like dominant brat tamer, primal hunter.
I want to primal.
Wow.
I want to take this test. Can you send
it
to me?
Yes, I will.
Imagine you just like the whatever that last one you just said was, the hunter gatherer, whatever one that was. Like you just
primal hunter.
Like you just walk up to a lake, you stick your tongue out, and you're like, and you can like
let's
get a fish.
Go. Yes.
Like a bear.
I'm just grabbing fish out of the lake, finger blasting with one hand, grabbing berries with the other. It's all over the place.
Oh man, there's something about this that really taps into a fucked up part of my brain, because a fucked up part of my brain really likes a woman who is not nice to me.
Okay. So you are a degradee.
Yeah, you feel so I can be, but like it's too real. It's too real. At the end of the day, I need someone who's really nice for a relationship.
So maybe you are the brat. You are the brat because you want them to be kind of mean, but not like mean enough that it like feels too real.
I have to take the test because all I know is when someone's a little bit mean to me, it triggers whatever fucked up relationship I have with my mom.
Your mom comes up a lot in this.
Mom, this is a thing. Oh, bro, I have done so much therapy. I have been in therapy for way too long. I am way too Freudian and open about it. Because the reality is all of our relationships resemble our relationships with the people who taught us what relationships mean, which is our parents for most of us. And that's why for a long time I went after cunts.
Right.
Boom.
Okay.
I love that you call people cunts. I love that word so much.
I come from a long line of cunts, Jake.
I love that for you.
Do you think you're breaking the cycle or do you think you are also one?
I am.
You are. Okay.
I am a cunt. However, I know I'm a cunt. Mm. I'm like in program for it. And I'm not going to pass along this problem to my children.
Gotcha.
Okay.
And so what I'm basically like, when someone's like legit a little mean to me, it makes me horny in this very specific way where I'm like, don't get too close to that.
See, my thing is it's less of like being mean and more of just, you know how like you can have like a banter with someone that say on a base level is like self-deprecating or just like you're just being kind of mean to each other in general.
Yeah. Bree and me.
Yeah, it's that for me.
That I love, but then there's like a little bit of genuine meanness that I'm actually attracted to.
I was just like, I'll see you there and I'll raise you genuine meanness. Bully me relentlessly.
No, for real. I got into earlier this year. I was in a thing with a woman who was like a kind of like a little bit mean to me. And I was like kind of falling for her. And I had to be like, stop. Like, you are about to enter a relationship that similar to ones you've had before with people who are genuinely kind of mean to you. You have got to stop.
This is not going to be healthy. So let's pump the brakes now.
Do you think you could find like a nice person in general, but then you could release that in the bedroom? Like if they were mean to you in a role play situation in the bedroom?
Should I ask explicitly the girl that I've been regularly fucking to be a little mean to me and see?
You absolutely
I don't
should.
Know if she's capable,
but that might be great because then that's the best of both worlds, because it makes you horny in the bedroom but then she's actually nice and it's healthy outside of the bedroom.
Yeah.
How did I turn your story into my story?
No, I love this is great. That was my story.
That
was my whole story
and it was great. All right, that's homework for me. I'm gonna take the quiz and I see her on Sunday, so I'm going to ask her. I'm going to say, hey.
I love it.
How do you feel? I cannot wait to see how she reacts to that. She's not going to be able to do it.
I can't wait.
Just give her enough time. Like, don't do it in the moment.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Give her prep. So I should text her now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Let's see if Wanda didn't text me back.
Surprise, surprise.
Just FYI. I got Wanda, but you know what I said to her? I didn't go full force. I didn't text her, hey, can we talk about that time I made you come 17 years ago? But I said, hey, can I ask you a potentially weird question? Oh. It's a weird question. I don't. It's not potentially
She's like,
weird.
Ash,
it's
we've
weird.
Gone different paths. Please stop messaging me. Please, God.
I'm back in India.
Seriously.
I'm in India to escape you. Well, Jade, thank you so much. You were a fantastic guest. I'd love if you came back because you were really, really funny. And I know everyone's going to love this. Also, when did you move to Portland? I thought you were in L.A.
Long, long ass story short. I was in L.A. My girlfriend moved back home to Oregon. Pandemic happened. My money got really fucking weird. And so I didn't want to re-sign my lease. I ended up moving back or moving to my girlfriend's family's house. That was a time. And then we moved here to Portland. And it was supposed to be temporary, and we're making it even more temporary because we got to get the fuck out of here. And so I've been here for like almost 2 years.
Wow.
You're like, too many white people are coming up to me at all the stores and it's
saying I'm welcome here.
It's too many haircuts in a day to digest.
Thank you for the emotional labor that you've done at this grocery store for us. We appreciate you.
Yes.
Well, where can people find you and keep up with you?
You can find me on YouTube. Just look up Jade Fox. I'll pop up. If you go on YouTube and look up Made You Looks, all one word, that's my personal style. Fashion channel, Instagram, I am Jade Fox. TikTok, I am Jade Fox. Just look up Jade Fox. And you might find like some weird movie that pops up, but everything else is me.
Pay no mind to that movie. That was a different time.
Yep.
Yeah.
What's the movie?
I think it's like a pretty popular Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Is there an actor named Jade
I
Fox?
I think there's a character named Jade Fox. I've never ever looked into it because I'm the only Jade Fox I'm looking into. Go.
I'm looking into it right now, and yes.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's like a character.
Yeah. Okay, well, now we know. Not super exciting, but we did find out.
Yeah, we got there.
And then, Bree, what do you want to plug? Butt plug.
You can find me everywhere at Breanne Williamson or my podcast at I Can Explain Podcast.
And then listen, you little piece of shit. I'm going to need you to sign up for my text alert because I'm doing a special and I'm putting it on YouTube and I have to pay for it. So get on the text alert. I'll tell you when the special comes out and go to patreon.com/WHGS to support the special. Okay, it really helps.
Yes.
Thanks for listening. Patreon.com/WHGS to support this. We could not do this on ads. We'd be deep in the hole on ads alone. Okay, so go donate a dollar. You can donate as little as a dollar a month. AshleyGavin.com for those upcoming tour dates. To get a text from me, I'm going to Pittsburgh, Madison, Minneapolis, Irvine, and we're adding even more. It's looking like maybe Buffalo, maybe Rochester, maybe Albuquerque of all places, Southern California, lots of cool stuff. And today, my gay thought this week is just gratitude. I'm navigating this new schedule and this new life, and I gotta be honest, it's been taxing on my body, on my brain, and this new level of like social media interaction. There has been a lot of, you know, like some negativity, but there's also been so much positivity. So many of you have messaged me nice things in response to my newsletter. I write like a think piece basically every month in my newsletter. You can sign up at my website. And I wrote about doing a special on YouTube rather than trying to sell it to Netflix or HBO or anything like that because they keep rejecting me. And some of you have written back some really, really nice things and really supported me in this. Truly, like, it wouldn't exist without you, and I'm just so, so grateful for your kind notes. They really go a long way, and I hope you guys come to these shows, and I hope you really open up and laugh and have a good time and just share in this community that we've made together. I just really, really appreciate you and wanted to take this week to let you know, like, I read them, the messages, I see them, and I'm just so thankful for you guys. All right. That was gay. That was gay, dude. That was so gay. Bro. That was fucking gay, bro. That was fucking gay, bro.